Do we have Michael yet? He's not on. He is on. He's not on. He's on. You got to put it on the screen there, Lyle. Otherwise, you're doing nothing there. You're just sitting there with a glazed look on your expression. Glazed expression on your look, however that works. Michael Phillips is the film critic for the Chicago Tribune. And I'm one of the better in the country. It's hard to say who's the best film critic. I'm sure Michael would say he was. And there's all kinds of new films out, and films that you'll never see that you should and never will. And so that's what we're going to find out today from Michael Phillips in Chicago right now. Hi, Michael. Are you there?
Yes, I am. And thank you for that tepid introduction, Michael.
Well, I don't know. You're my favorite. You know that, Michael. No one can criticize a film like you.
But I'm about the love, too. I've seen some good stuff lately.
I know. But that's what you do. You're a critic has to critique. Critique more than criticize, right?
Right. Analyze. Yeah.
Has a film critic ever gone on to make a film? You know, they certainly know what's wrong with them.
Oh, yeah. Well, let me just quote the Cahiers du Cinéma crowd. Let me tone this show up.
Oh, yeah, okay.
By mentioning that a lot of French film critics, like Jean-Luc Godard and François Truffaut, filmmakers.
Yeah. Well, that's interesting.
Yeah.
I have no idea. Have you ever thought of making a film because you know what's wrong with them?
I'm making one right now. This is a key scene in the movie.
A turning point.
I'm sitting here with my Dunkin' Jesus cup, and I'm just thinking of.
The question on everyone's minds is sex, death, and bowling. What happened there?
I'm sorry. Wait, what? What?
Sex, death, and bowling. You know, the Drea DiMatteo vehicle.
Oh, yeah. I think it's like everything, Michael, I wait for the remake. I never see the original of anything anymore.
It only grossed $50.
Right.
It was the lowest grossing film in November.
That's, yeah, did you pay? Is $11.50 of that yours or no?
You know, I don't go to movies. I just steal them. And I just do that if I know I'm talking to you, because otherwise I don't know what you're talking about. So you didn't see Sex, Death, and Bowling like anybody else?
No, I did not. I was at Real Movies, I think, when that was playing, and there's a few we can talk about. I mean, I haven't talked about the best of. Or the worst of 2015 yet, because the year's not over.
Yeah.
Plenty of good movies yet to see, I hope.
No, we'll get to it, Michael. Don't get
this
excited.
This is it.
You know, you do movies, I do radio. Come on, I know how to do this.
Okay.
Sly Stallone, did you see him say that he never passed an English course in his life, and look at all he's done? Did you see it?
Yeah. What? I'm sorry?
Did you see him say that?
Who said that?
Sly Stallone. Sylvester.
Yeah. Hey.
Never passed an English course in his life, and look at him now.
Right. Well, and it does often sound like he's still learning that language on screen. But you know what? Creed, the movie that has Rocky as the mentor trainer to this young son of Apollo Creed,
is
a really good movie. It's coming out in a couple of weeks. I couldn't believe it. Really good.
Yeah. You've seen it?
Yeah, I just saw it.
Okay. You liked it?
Sure did.
Okay. Oh, I know. Did I ever talk to you about Nick Nolte being Jefferson? I want to talk casting decisions for a moment with you. Like the worst casting decision probably that I can think of was Nick Nolte as Thomas Jefferson. Can you think of a worse one?
Why? Why do you think that?
Come on, Nolte as Jefferson?
Well,
I mean, what would America be like today if Jefferson were Nick Nolte?
It would be craggier, you know. It would be a little.
I like Nick Nolte, but not as
horse as a, you know, as a vocal. You know what though? I don't blame the casting in that case.
No.
You're talking about the movie Jefferson in Paris.
Yeah.
Which is not a classic, and in fact, it hasn't been mentioned in public on radio or otherwise since it was made until this moment.
Well, I'm glad we have.
But
what's worse? What's the worst casting decision than that?
Well, it's not a real life character, but I'd have to say that if you're going to pin the American Revolution on Al Pacino in Revolution, did you ever see that?
No.
That was just in that same time frame. Our country wouldn't have got going really.
Yeah.
I don't think with Al, with Big Al.
And what's with Jennifer Lawrence? I know you don't do this background stuff, but she's been in the news lately. First, complaining about pay. And I'm sure she's highly paid, you know, but the pay disparity.
She's the highest paid female movie star in the country. She's also radically less rich than, say, you know, your Robert Downey Jr. You know, that it's just, there's pay inequity. She's also a gazillionaire, no question about it.
Yeah, on her way. But she said this thing about guys treat me really bad.
Yeah.
What guys and where?
Well, you'd be surprised. Look, I don't want to actually take this in a serious direction.
No.
But I think when she spoke out about just being generally having to kind of navigate the world of Hollywood, deal making, the rest of it.
Yeah.
I think she was surprised, even after she was a big star, how much grief, patronizing, you know, horse hockey, the rest of it she had to put up with. And, you know, it's not an industry built for fairness or a fair shake for women. So I'm actually kind of glad that...
But she was talking about her dating problems, like guys... Who's going to treat Jennifer Lawrence badly? I would worship her.
Yeah.
If it were appropriate to.
I think if, you know. So if she goes on J-Date, you're all set, pal.
Yeah. J-Date. Okay. What's the best movie none of us will see of 2015?
2015, the best one?
That none of us will see except you, possibly.
Let me think. Okay. I'll mention this one because I just saw it. I thought it was really strong. Mm. It's also on Netflix right now.
Oh.
Called Beasts of No Nation. Have you heard about this?
No, just from your note.
Yeah, it's Idris Elba plays this warlord who's fighting a revolution in an unnamed West African country, and it's just this really wrenching story of a young boy, 11 or 12, who gets caught up in this one of the child soldiers, and limited theatrical run. It's all over Netflix now. It's one of the best, strongest movies I've seen this year. So, yeah, nobody's going to go in terms of your James Bond Star Wars level box office, but you should check it out.
Okay.
Of No Nation.
All right. You want to put in a vote for the most disappointing or worst release of 2015?
Yeah, I'll give you three right now, man. Okay. Did you see Pan with Hugh Jackman playing Captain Hook? And did you see Pan?
No.
I don't see anything. So, yeah. That was terrible.
It's too easy to pan, though, isn't it? I mean, you come out with a critique
right
in the title. Yeah.
The saddest comedy I saw, the most really, really, really saddest comedy I saw was National Lampoon's Vacation, speaking of reboots. Did anybody there see that?
Yeah, I stole that one just to look at it.
Did you? What did you think?
It was bad.
Yeah, so you feel good about the pirating in that case, yeah.
I don't feel bad about pirating. I feel bad about movie prices.
A lot of these reboots and remakes and restarts of the franchises was just such a headache. The Terminator Genesis, awful. Arnold Schwarzenegger beating his 1984 self up in one scene, literally fighting with his own images from the old Terminator. A good film, the old Terminator.
Yeah.
But the new one, no.
Oh, okay. That's it? On the bad list?
That's about it. I mean, Fantastic Four was the worst superhero film in existence, and that really is saying something.
I know. I stole that and deleted it. It was so bad.
You deleted it?
I did.
So those are some lowlights, but I'll tell you, some good stuff just opened. Some really good stuff.
Tell us some more of the good stuff now.
Good stuff. Spotlight. Have you heard about this? Michael Keaton, Mark Ruffalo, Rachel McAdams. They played the Boston Globe investigative reporters who broke the sex abuse scandal at the Boston Archdiocese.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Best newspaper movie since All the President's Men, but really just the best, probably one of the two or three best of the year.
Yeah.
Here at Spotlight. Really good.
And isn't Michael Keaton like the unexpectedly the best actor ever?
He's
amazing.
He's wonderful. And he's this is an interesting film because it's one of these ensemble pieces where nobody really takes a prominent leading role. And I suspect Keaton will be put up and may win for Best Supporting Actor, but it's really as big a part as anybody else's in the film. But do you remember fondly All the President's Men? Is that a film that means something to you?
Yes, it does.
Yeah, I honestly think Spotlight has the same kind of impact and quality, and just sort of getting a complicated story right and making it interesting and dramatic, and without a lot of Hollywood nonsense. So it's really good.
Okay, give us another.
What's another good one lately? Well, great, really good film just opened this week here, Brooklyn. Have you heard about this? Brooklyn with Saoirse Ronan playing this Irish emigrant in 1952, comes to New York City. And it's just a really, really lovely, simple, beautifully acted story about what it's like to really, really deal with all kinds of homesickness when you leave one country for another. Suddenly, I don't know what happened this week, Michael, but they released movies for grown-ups between Spotlight and Brooklyn.
The Oscar rush to get one in for the Oscars? Or?
That's right. That's right. These months are pretty heavy with, the studios hope, better movies that might get some awards consideration.
Yeah. What'd you think about Steve Jobs?
You know, I was mixed to eh. Mixed to eh. I thought
more of a meh. Well, it'd be a meh.
It was a meh. Yeah. It was a meh for me. I thought, I wouldn't have any real quibbles with the acting, but I think in the end, I didn't really buy this idea that he was this egocentric monster who messed up all our lives with technology. I learned to be a better father in the last 5 minutes, and suddenly he was okay. So. I don't know. I think there's a reason that film didn't quite find an audience, despite Michael Fassbender and Kate Winslet, who cast.
He was he was much better looking than I remember him being, though.
He was.
There's that.
He was. Fassbender can really sell those turtlenecks.
If it had been Benedict Cumberbatch, I wouldn't have thought so much.
Not so much, yeah.
Okay. I thought one movie he didn't get. That's pretty good, though.
What's that? Yeah, that was
one movie he didn't get. Benedict
Cumberbatch. The one, yeah.
Yeah, the one.
So you want to hear what my favorite popcorn movie was this year?
Favorite popcorn movie was?
Was, in fact, the latest Mission Impossible, Rogue Nation. That was one where I thought I went in kind of shrugging, and then came out, thought this is actually the best of the series.
Yeah.
And suddenly it seems like a viable franchise again. Yeah, it was a pleasure.
I liked it, but I thought the Chinese subtitles were really annoying. They were very large.
Well,
and the sound, and some guy kept getting up in front of the screen and, adjusting something, and that ruined the whole, for me at least.
Yeah. Well, I'm a man of the world, I don't mind a little, I don't mind some subtitles.
I thought it was good, though, in between all that. That was pretty good.
Yeah, good. And I like The Martian a lot, too.
You like the what?
I like The Martian.
The Martian. Okay, yeah. I have mixed emotions about The Martian. One, it should have been Ben Affleck on Mars. And I think most Americans would agree on me. If we're going to abandon some actor on Mars, it should be Ben Affleck. Not his buddy. But, I thought it was good. And once again, it wasn't the best copy I've ever seen. But it was good. You know, I like the part where he was learning to survive on the planet and working the science angle on that. And that was really kind of cool, But but getting him back again was just typical sort of thing, what preposterous kind of rescue where he punches a hole in his glove and propels himself towards her while she's waiting there on the end of her tail. That was a low point in film history, I think. Don't you think? I mean, that was just stupid.
Yeah, I've never tried it myself, so I can't say if the science works. But
even if it worked, it's stupid. I don't care. Give her a longer tether, and then we don't have to go through the.
Yeah,
that part of it.
So I liked Matt Damon in that. I think I take your point about Ben Affleck. If you're going to strand somebody, maybe it would be a better choice.
But planting potatoes in your own in human waste on Mars to me is what movies are all about. Really, that pushing the envelope of organic farming.
Right.
On a planet.
Well, speaking of somebody who's actually who's had organic vegetables delivered from farms over the border here in Wisconsin. I've always wondered what's actually going on. So I'm not convinced that that's strictly a Martian. I think they do that in Wisconsin, too.
Well, organic means grown in poop. I don't know if you knew that out there in Chicago, way out there in Chicago. But you're from Wisconsin. You should understand that much of it.
Please.
Okay, so the Martian was pretty good. Bridge of Spies. What do you think of Bridge of Spies?
I liked it. I liked it.
Boring. It's boring.
What?
Boring.
Oh, jeez. Change the channel. I mean, then why don't you just go put on the Transformers movies and think a little
boring.
Bit?
Boring. Plus, Tom, what's his name? Hanks, yeah. All, you know, he's in every movie made, you know, and we're a little tired. I mean, I like Tom Hanks going way back, you know, but I would have to be in every movie. Someone else could have been in there in Bridges, and he was boring. He was boring.
Well,
it was slow-paced. The director had no sense for any of the exciting. The only thing good was when
Spielberg, that hack. I know what you mean.
Was that him? Spielberg did this?
Yeah.
You know, I'll be honest with you. I've never cared for Spielberg.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, okay.
Yeah. His wife was very nice, and he divorced her.
I'd like to say, you know, we can respectfully disagree, but when I hear something that's just wrong, I have to say it's not correct.
Well, that's how I feel, too. So, you know, it was slow. And the only thing good was when the U2 crashed, and that was pretty exciting. That was cool. That was a nice thing that happened. But otherwise, it was just slow-paced, you know. I mean, I know it's you're waiting in on the bridge and all that stuff, and so you got to go through the whole thing.
Well, there's not a lot of guns drawn in that movie. It's more about.
I don't need guns. I need a little excitement in my life.
All right. That's why you got a radio show.
Okay. Pan, you didn't like Spectre.
Spectre, I thought was pretty good. I do see the people who say that. I mean, I don't know if it needs to be 2.5 hours.
I didn't get through the whole thing.
Was that right?
I will say worst helicopter fight in history of film.
Yeah.
That was absurd.
Right.
We've seen it before.
We have. In fact, we saw it in Mission Impossible, which is a better film.
Better helicopter fight in Mission Impossible.
Yeah.
And this was the worst copy I had yet. But I'll tell you, Daniel Craig needs more than no expression. You know.
Right.
You know, he's the only. I mean, there are a lot of actors out there, let's face it, who have the one expression, and they do that, and that's their living. And, you know, if you like the expression, then you like the actor.
Well,
but he has absolutely no expression. He's the first actor with no expression.
He's getting ready for the Buster Keaton story. That's what he's doing. So here's my question to you. What is it going to take? What can I do to convince you to actually pay full price for a movie and see it with the people?
When's the last time you paid full price to see a movie?
I pay plenty, pal. I play penny. Just with the junk I have to sit through, I pay.
Yeah, well, that's how I feel, too, and that's what I want to do. I hate actually being physically in the presence of people when watching a film because they're always doing something annoying. People are on their phones. They're eating. They don't eat just popcorn anymore. They have, like, three-course meals, you know, and they're drinking beer and stuff, and I can't enjoy it.
I don't like, I really don't like that whole serving meals at the seats.
Yeah, it's terrible.
Yeah, there was some film, and I honestly don't remember the title, but in the first 5 minutes, we're sitting there watching, the lights are low, and there's this scene, there's this horrible murder scene in the opening credits, no dialogue, very eerie music, like dead bodies, blood on the wall, and then my waiter, who's got, like, no sense of proportion, says, "Okay, who had the enchiladas?" And it was loud. And
speaking of that, what do you think about Burnt, Bradley Cooper?
Burnt, no good.
No good?
Not too good, no.
Another guy wants to be a chef.
You know, when people say, I don't find this or that protagonist sympathetic, therefore I can't like the movie, I don't really go with that because I think there's plenty of anti-heroes and, you know, nasty characters that you can find compelling and go with it. This guy, this chef, this horrible, you know, it's privileged, awful American chef trying to claw his way to the top of the London restaurant scene is such a flaming a-hole from the word go.
Yeah, don't hold back, Michael.
You just think that's a case where maybe some recasting would have helped because Bradley Cooper does have kind of a, although he's pretty skilled and he's very good in things like American Hustle.
Yeah,
he can really, when he kind of goes 110%, it's annoying.
So you kind of liked it? You...
No, didn't like it.
Okay. And besides, we're tired of chef movies, aren't we? What is the big deal about guys thinking that they're chefs or wanting to be chefs or being chefs or anything involving cooking and males?
The best one in that vein, Ratatouille from Pixar. Okay.
Yes, I agree totally. I think I even paid for that one.
Ah!
There you go. And I would pay for it again, but not burnt with Bradley Cooper. So I haven't seen it, of course, but
I don't bother. Yeah, don't bother.
And you know, just in terms of going back to the James Bond thing again, I mean, what do you think about Craig as James Bond?
I mean, well, I like the first one that came out 4 movies ago, Casino Royale. Really felt like we really have the right actor in the right kind of Bond movie. That was a great human scale movie, and it just totally worked. You know, it got rid of all the worst memories of Roger Moore in space and, you know, whatever. And it was much, much more like it. And, you know, Spectre is more of that kind of gigantic sort of Thunderball type action from the Connery years. It's pretty good. And I do like Craig. I like him more than you do because...
it's not hard.
You know, what's that?
Not hard.
Yeah. Very hard. But no, I like Craig. I think he's exhausted with the role. He gave interviews when Spectre was done shooting, saying I would rather slit my wrist than make another Bond movie. Which I think he then got a call from.
I'd pay to see that.
It'd be a shorter film.
Yeah. Plus, we're not in the Ian Fleming era now anymore of Bonds, right?
No.
These are all written by other people, and there doesn't seem to be the humor in them, for one thing.
Yeah. And that Casino, that's why I like Casino Royale so much, because it really did feel like it had one foot in the Ian Fleming world, and it wasn't all Cloud Cuckoo Land, you know. It sort of took place on planet Earth.
Okay. Sarah Silverman is supposed to be pretty good, and I Smile Back. That was
very good, very good. It's a pretty good movie. It's a very good performance, and talk about heavy. It's short but very intense. A picture like 85 minutes about a woman who's just going through the sort of chemical addiction spiral downward, and really good. And it does not surprise me that someone who's that good at comedy is also that good at drama.
No, it doesn't surprise me, especially her comedy, because before it takes a turn for the comic, it always goes pretty deep into some pretty heavy things, you know.
Yep.
And then I could see it totally for her.
Yeah, she's terrific.
And By the Sea?
I haven't seen it. Didn't see the Angelina Jolie, Brad Pitt.
No. Are you just going to skip that one?
That one all came and went. It was one of those weeks where 6 or 7 things opened, and you know, the most I can do without losing my mind is 5. You know, 5 a week plus a few other things is usually enough to do it.
By the way, do you actually physically have to go to a theater to see a movie, or they send you the movies?
No, about a third of them I see at Monday or Tuesday night screenings with a crowd, which I like, and then a third of them I see at a screening room in the Loop here in Chicago about, you know, 10 a.m. noon with a dozen or so other critics. And then there's the foreign language art house stuff, which does come my way on a screener, DVD or a link or something.
Yeah. A good way to ruin a marriage, though, isn't it?
Well, you know what? It's actually, the more ways I can see the movies, the better it is.
No, I mean Angelina Jolie and Brad Pitt.
Well, apparently.
It's not all about you, Michael. I don't know where you're coming from.
No, I know. That film apparently is not doing that well at the box office. So hopefully they'll survive it. I hope the best for any couple, Michael.
Really, especially if they're making a film with each other.
Yes, that's right.
And then the Tarantino thing, the big thing about that is sort of how it's being released in what film, what form. I mean,
I like this. The Hateful Eight. I mean, I haven't seen it, but I love the fact that at 100 or so theaters in the U.S., you're going to be able to see Tarantino's post-Civil War Western in 70mm projected on real film, and it's going to have one of those old-fashioned overtures plus an intermission, and it's going to be like 1965 all over again.
Yeah, be like Mad, Mad, Mad World all over again.
Right, we'll see. I hope it's got more laughs than that. I never found that film funny, but I love the fact that it's going to be a huge 70mm screen image for the people that take the time to check it out those first 2 weeks in that format.
Yeah. If it's not boycotted by everyone because of Tarantino and his police remarks.
He did. He did shoot his mouth off at the anti-police brutality rally. But, you know, all that I hope quiets down and we can actually just get a look at the film, and I hope it's good.
Yeah. He is a genius, though. Really, wouldn't you say?
Some good ones.
He's a guy you don't want to believe is a genius because he doesn't look like a genius, and he's kind of an annoying human being. But his films have been amazing, I think, really.
I mean, not all of them, but on the high end, absolutely. And It's a little grim to hear so much distraction from whatever the movie actually turns out to be in the months leading up to the release. So we'll see.
Yeah. And the 33, that you like that one a lot, right?
No, I did not.
You did not like that one a lot.
The Chilean miners disaster?
No, I thought you liked that one. No.
No, I didn't.
Okay. What didn't you like about it? Too much underground?
There's too much mining.
Too much mining in that?
Yeah. No, actually, it's just one of those. Sometimes it's one of these good news disaster movies that just kind of doesn't get the human element right in any dramatic way. And even though it's reasonably good shot, it just doesn't happen. So.
Okay.
Don't worry about the 33. Don't worry about it.
Okay. Too static for you? All those guys trapped underground for.
What can you do about that? Yeah. I mean, you can't. But
all right, and Michael, before we close on this thing, and I hate saying goodbye to you. One movie you should not miss, if you're not going to any other movies this year, what would you suggest?
Right now?
Yeah.
Spotlight.
Spotlight is the one.
Spotlight is probably going to win the Oscar. You heard it here. If it wins, you heard it here.
Okay. Thanks, Michael. Nice talking
right,
to you,
Michael,
as always. Yeah. Michael Phillips from the Chicago Tribune, ladies and gentlemen. The best movie critic. Anyway.